Hi, this is Greg Schultz from Storage.io, and today we're doing a combination podcast video cast, so you'll have the option of either watching, listening, or both. Hey, I've got a guest here with me today, and no, this is not Captain Obvious from the commercials without his hat on. This is the one, the only, Kendrick Coleman. Hey, Kendrick, what's happening?
Hey, Greg. Well, not a whole lot, man. I'm glad to be on the show today.
Outstanding. Hey, you got a lot going on these days. I mean, certainly with the Final Four going on. I know you got your podcast that you're doing involving bourbon. That's a lot of stuff going on down in your neighborhood.
You know, Kentucky is a great time this time of the year, right? Because we've got Big Blue Nation, we got Kentucky in the Final Four. Of course, bourbon country is all about what Kentucky's about, and that's what me and another friend of mine, we started a podcast, just running around talking to master distillers and stuff like that. So it's a good extracurricular activity that hopefully reaps rewards in the end at some point.
Hey, not to mention, you've got a little race coming up in about a month.
That's true. That's true. It's springtime's coming along. The Kentucky Derby is almost on the way here. The city goes crazy about this time just because of all the events and everything that goes on. So if you're looking to come in town for Derby, let me know, and I can always recommend good restaurants and things to do. Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, the great thing I love about horse racing is that I can go there with like 40 or 50 bucks and I can be there for 5 hours. If I go to a casino, that's going to last me maybe 50 seconds. So
exactly. So a lot going on. But what we're really here to chat about, it's always fun to talk about Kentucky. I love that area down there, which is the segue for what we want to talk about today, is what you're currently doing in a couple of different areas. You're tied in with something called EMC Code. You're doing something called S3 Motion. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I'm in a very, very unique and very honored spot to be in this group with inside of EMC. So, of course, EMC, you know, the massive storage vendor we've all loved to know, some love to hate, however you want to say it, right? But we're in a very unique spot where the next generation of applications aren't really looking at SAN infrastructures. They're more looking at scale out. It's a new world of looking at open source software as a means to be faster to market, as a means of giving back to communities, and more on and more of that. Now, the good thing is that my boss, he kind of came into this idea, I would say, about a year ago. And I should only mention that EMC Code, we're only about 6 months old right now. But he came with me with this idea about a year ago, and he said, you know, I kind of started changing my transition and doing a little bit more software development and software programming. And he goes, you know, I think there's this good idea that I have, and I'd like to, you know, have you be a part of this team. He told me about it, and I said, you know, this is going to be pretty big, right? Because EMC wasn't always kind of maybe ready for this. The industry wasn't always ready for this. And he talked to me about it. And this is kind of what he told me. He said, you know, this is an idea where we have an ability to start influencing people inside of EMC and outside of EMC about what we can do in regards to open source. And he told me about it. And I said, this is going to be pretty big. And so we are sort of an arm inside of EMC of looking at open sourcing some stuff that's actually inside of EMC. We contribute back to stuff that is already in the open source communities. And we try to acknowledge those people that do that through a few different programs we have. But at the same time, our team is also building our own tools that we kind of see as would be helpful in the ecosystem that sort of have a tie back into some of EMC software tools. So whether it's Viper/ECS, Elastic Cloud Storage, Scale.io, all these different things that we've typically just always been as part of software with inside of EMC, we want to start looking of how we can start integrating that with more of the open source communities.
So let me ask you this, Kendrick, is that, you know, some people know about EMC and what they're doing with the whole OpenStack initiative movement, open source from that standpoint. Then there are those that know about what EMC is doing in conjunction with the EMC Federation, Pivotal, Cloud Foundry, the recently announced Cloud Dojos, Cloud Foundry Dojos. Does EMC Code kind of sit somewhere in between all that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say we're a glue by necessary, right? We're maybe a shim somewhere, right?
Okay.
We kind of sit there in the middle. You know, it's funny. We actually just got an email this past week about somebody that submitted a pull request into fixing a Redis problem with inside Cloud Foundry. And he says, can you guys help me get us across this line and figure out how to do it, right? So we take on some of those initiatives initiatives where we try to figure out, you know, try to help some of the people that are inside of EMC and with inside the Federation try to find these common grounds, right? Because we all know that these are pretty big companies, and it's hard for a team of, you know, five or eight or, you know, wherever we're at to be able to try and glue all that, but it's tough. But it's very unique in a way that, you know, I'm a developer advocate for EMC code. That's my title. And the fact that we don't, because most times developer advocates, they advocate to the external world. They say, these are our products. These are how you use it. You know, go have fun. This is what you should do. You know, we get to do that too, but we also get to advocate internally. We get to teach our internal engineers how stuff like Docker works. What's Kubernetes? Okay. What are all these new things that are coming in this quote unquote third platform application space that they can start using inside of their own software development for internal EMC purposes?
What I'm hearing there, is it just internal to the EMC developers, or is it also with the EMC systems engineers, the people out in the field that are working?
Great. So actually, it's to all of them, right? So we actually sponsored, we've actually just done our second sponsored Docker Day. We're getting ready to sponsor a third Docker Day in Boston, and we're looking to do a fourth one in Seattle, and then also hitting some regional cities. And this is for anybody, whether they're SEs, internal engineers, external. I mean, come in from HP or whoever, come on in and let's all learn, right? Because this is all open source software. And I think it's all about not becoming, you know, the center of learning about it, but it's about advocating. It's about giving out the knowledge, about making sure that everybody's kind of on the same page with all this, because we're all going to go through the same trials and tribulations together. You know, Docker is in an infant stage, even though some people are really running in production. It's for a lot of enterprises out there. It's a big hill to climb in regards of learning and education, and we're all just trying to get there together.
So this ties into something which I think I found out about it. It was either you or maybe Brian or somebody else. Somehow it popped up. I found it, which is a very slick tool. I think it's a great tool called S3 Motion. And what caught my eye on is, yeah, it can run as a microservice on Docker. So all of a sudden, you can talk about Docker, but you can actually demonstrate, say, here's something to actually run on Docker and use. But that it also runs on my Ubuntu systems. I've got it on my even on my Windows laptop. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, so this was a project. My Brian actually came to me and he says, you know, I got this idea, and we've always had this sort of notion that, you know, of whatever you're going to call California, you know, the Hotel California, it could be any vendor you go to, or blah 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 blah, right? And AWS S3 is always kind of looked at as one of those things, right? As soon as your stuff's up there. And once you start building a mass amount of stuff up there, when do you start moving it off? How do you move it off? Where do you get it to wherever it is? Because one of the things that we all see in the enterprise space is that, great, AWS is an easy way to start learning about cloud platforms, about how to use these new technologies, but where it becomes the pivot point where it becomes too expensive and you need to bring it in-house and you need to look at some other kind of software solution, whether it's from us or CleverSafe or whomever, and how do you move that all that data somewhere. And right. Typically it's, you know, download, upload, figure out how it's all going to work, right? So he came with me this idea, and I started building it. And I actually built it in Node.js because I started wanting to learn about server-side scripting using JavaScript. So I said, well, this will be a good introduction to really get my my feet wet with it. And I started going, and I got more and more enthralled with all these different things that I was doing. So I originally had to figure out, well, how many buzzwords can I fit in here, right? So microservice,
buzzword
Docker,
bingo,
blah 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 blah, Node.js. And so I originally started building it as a CLI command tool. So as a CLI command tool, you can run on your own laptop or anywhere else, and you could actually do a complete copy of one bucket in AWS or in CleverSafe or in ECS or wherever, and then move those files somewhere else. And with that, it was a way that essentially downloads a file at a time and then moves it, and it does it in a sequential order that only does 10 at a time. So it goes relatively fast. In the next version, I'm actually looking to do it bit by bit. So it's almost like a streaming. That was just first one as I put out. But anyway, so I put it out there. It was just a way that we tried to get out of that Hotel California kind of thought process. And then actually after I built the CLI, I said, okay, well, we can do this one more better. And so I actually added on a REST interface for it. And that's kind of where the whole microservice and Docker and all that kind of stuff comes in, is that you can actually put this S3 motion tool inside of a Docker container, expose the port, you know, whether it's port 80 or 443 or whatever it's going to be, and you can now use that to call from different applications. So if I'm running, say, any sort of application that is talking to S3 or talking to any kind of storage object storage, if there is a chance that the file changes or I need to do multi-site replicated backups, whatever it is, I can then call the microservice to then do that at specific times of the day, right? So that was one of the other things that, of course, just tacking on more buzzwords to it that I could try to figure out how to do more things with it.
As I mentioned Brian, you mentioned Brian, but we didn't say who Brian is.
Yeah. So Brian Gracely is my boss, and he's the one who came to me with.
Hey, let's go back to S3 Motion here for again. Is that, you know, on the one hand, is that you can run it as a microservice on Docker. On the other hand, you can run it. Like I said, I've got it running on my Windows laptop. I've got it running on Ubuntu. You know, for doing different things. And today, it's really for, think of it as bulk movement of buckets or objects within those buckets, as opposed to a CloudBerry or a CyberDuck or a Curl or some of the others that have more granularity or for doing file movement today, or versus things like S3FS, where you can actually mount an S3 bucket to Ubuntu. But, you know, you mentioned going like from Amazon to CleverSafe or CleverSafe to Atmos or ECS or these different things is, hey, it works. I can attest to this. It also works from going from Amazon to Google Cloud Services or Cloud Storage, GCS, mm-hmm. including their Nearline, and from GCS over to Azure back to S3. So itself is pretty flexible.
Man alive, I should make you write a blog post for me or do some quality testing for me.
Well, again, you know, that's the good news. The bad news is I've got a wish list.
Yes, you do.
And, you know, you know, it's like one of those is, you know, people, the beautiful thing about whether you're working on Amazon with S3 buckets or whether you're working OpenStack with containers or whether you're working with Google and containers, you know, it's that same notion of a bucket, container, objects, et cetera. And one of the things I like about that is, how you use those buckets, those objects are limited by your imagination. You can use them in a classic hierarchy tree structure. You can use them as flat. And
right. It's not as simple as a control X and control V, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. But, you know, I think that's part of this notion is that, you know, some people just think there's a bucket object hierarchy. But yet when you look at, again, whether it's OpenStack, whether it's AWS, Google, et cetera, there is that notion of a bucket, a folder, and a hierarchy that you can use, but you're not forced into it. That's that flexibility.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that I've recognized in developing a few applications myself is that when you're doing this, I mean, unstructured data is fantastic because you don't have to think about a lot of that stuff because it doesn't matter what the path is. At some point, once you have that path down, the objects can get retrieved no matter what. It's not like it ruins anything, right? And not only that is sometimes when you're writing some of this code is that if you have to go to multiple buckets, then you're basically repeating a lot of the code to be able to do that. Whereas it's a lot easier to say, okay, I'm just going to go to this one bucket and I'm going to go to two different paths. So it's a lot easier from that standpoint if you're bringing in these kinds of libraries to do that, that it makes it easier to move those objects to all those different types of folders.
You know, one of the things I run into, Kendrick, is that I find people are really confused about objects. You know, they think, oh, an object. But yet object context is key. You know, are we talking about an S3 object or a Swift object or OpenStack or GCS? Or are we talking about a VMware object such as a VMDK?
Right.
And if you think about a VMDK, it's a file, but inside that file, there are the different entities. Or is it a SQL Server object or an Oracle object?
See, I mean, I think it's one of those, it's the same scenario of overthinking everything, right?
Yeah.
There's a new term in the world and nobody knows what it is, or there's a new term and everybody's got to put their own definition on it, right?
Remember
software-defined storage? Like, what was that, right? So there's
yeah.
Everybody's got their own definition. I think when I think of it, I just think of it as any file, whether it's an image, whether it's an MP3. When you think of any kind of – it could be an HTML file. It's static content. That's essentially what it is when I think of it, right?
Yeah,
it's static content, something that if you're going to change, you're going to update it, but it's not going to change the name. It's not going to – you know, you can have version history to it. You can have all these sort of different things to it. But at the same time, I look at it as – it's something that is always done, you know, I guess this is the notion S3 really is, right, is that it's HTTP gets, right? It's gets, puts, deletes. It's the simple CRUD interface, right? And that's the easiest way to start thinking about it, is that it can really be anything as long as you can just pull it up in a web browser.
File. No, it's also what's inside the file.
Right. I mean, I can give you an example of something that happened to a company here in town where – regular big VMware shop, right? Huge VMware shop. And their developers, actually, it was kind of funny is that, you know, I worked for EMC and they actually had an Atmos that was sitting on the floor, just sitting there. They bought it because they had budget. It was just spinning fans and spinning disks and really nothing to worry about. And our team actually went in there, not my team, but the account team went in there and they said, hey, how about we go ahead and we upgrade this to the latest code rev? We'll make sure that it's all S3 compatible and all this sort of stuff. And they were like, I really don't see any. We're never going to use it. We don't really need. And I kid you not, but like 2 to 3 weeks later, they came back and they said, guys, we have to have something in here now that our developers are asking for object. They've spent way too much money in S3. We don't know what we're doing. It was the point where they had their it was funny because the manager of operations came and talked to me, and he told me this, so we had our operations teams in there and our developers in there, and our developers are sitting there talking to them and saying, this is what it is, this is why we use it, this is how it works. And then the storage admin goes, okay, so where do you want me to provision the LUN?
Yeah.
Kind of like that, okay, well, we need some help, right?
Yeah. You know, it ties back to, you know, your FIS, your context, you know, your domain of experience. So in other words, if I mention object to storage people, they're like, oh, okay, you're talking Swift, S3, et cetera, because, you know, that's what they tend to think. If I say it to a DBA, they're going to say, well, are you talking about an Oracle object, or are we talking about an ORA, or are we talking about the SGA, or, you know, if I talk to
something
VMworld.
Something in an active record database.
Yeah, exactly. There's a good one, you know, GPOs and things like that, is that it can mean a lot of different things. But you know, on the same token, if I say object access, somebody might say, well, a DBA might say, if I mention to a regular storage person, they're going to like, yeah, something like a wash with. and you mention that to a DBA, they're like, yeah, you know, we use SOAP, also use ODBC, and we use native client, et cetera, right? So these different languages that tie back to the different contexts that even with object, there is S3, there is Swift, there is CDMI, but, you know, there's also that there are these different entities. But I think that's part of it, is opening up some new worlds and some of these things.
I mean, it's the constant thing that we always hear about, right? In our industry, the only constant is change, right?
Yeah. Hey, Kendrick, I think that's our signal. It's time to wrap up. Hey, thanks for taking time out of your schedule. I know you've got another call coming up here. And again, check out at KendrickColeman.com. His Twitter is at KendrickColeman. Also check out at EMCCode. And be sure to check out S3 Motion. Kendrick, look forward to having you back on the show soon. This is Greg Schultz from Storage IO saying, okay.